Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shavuos Chafav, Shavuos 26a, pagination is 51. From the widest lines, count up two lines, and in the beginning of the line, Ha'odam b'Shavua prat la'anus is our topic. Literal translation from the Pasuk Vayikra Hei, Pasuk Dalid. Ha'adam, the person, b'shavua, in his oath, parat la'anus, to come to exclude situations that are beyond your control. How does ha'adam b'shavua, a person, in an oath, come to exclude circumstances beyond your control? So the Torah Tamima on the Pasuk says that the concept of a Adam, a person, is that he's a bocher, he's a person with, he's a being with free choice, umaskil, he has intelligence, v'chafshi b'dei osav, and he's free to think and look at things and allocate his resources in the way that he sees fit. That is what is uniquely human, a person. Sheze geder ha'adam b'chlal, that's the way we look at a person. So when the Pasuk moves away from the word ish and uses the word adam, it means ha'adam b'shivua, the person who has this situation of an oath, and he's able to handle it as people do, with free choice. Prat la'anus, that comes to exclude something where the person is locked in circumstances beyond his control. Now, the regular case that this would apply is brought, for example, in Simon Reish Lamed Beis, Yud Beis, in Yoredeya and the Laws of Nidorim. The Mechaber writes, Nidrei Onsin Keitzad, what's the case of situations beyond your control? Hidiro chavera sheyochal etzlo. He accepted a vow that he should eat by somebody. V'chola, and then he got sick. O shechola beno, or his child got sick and he has to take care. O sheikvo nahar, or the river overflowed. And all of these are situations that were not readily anticipated, because had they been anticipated, he should have made a condition. But they weren't readily anticipated. Hareilu nidrei onsen, these are examples of things that are not included in these laws of oaths and vows. We have to know how they would be handled. You have to ask a shaila, but for our purposes, there's going to be an exclusion regarding such things that are beyond your control. Let's take a look at the first of the widest lines, a fascinating application of this. Amar Mar, the master taught, Ha'adam b'shavua prat la'anus, the person, the human being, regarding the oath, to exclude things that are beyond your control. Hechidami, what's the case? So we already gave the more conventional type of case, but the Gemara proceeds to extrapolate and extend this case and apply it to a whole new arena. Kidravkana v'Rav Asi, Ravkana and Rav Asi, who were apparently students of Rav, Kiavakaimi mikame de Rav, when they got up from the shir, Mar Omar Shavuas adahachi Omar Rav, one said an oath that this is what Rav said in the shir, Umar Omar Shavuas adahachi Omar Rav, and the other said an oath that Rav said something totally differently. And they were both so convinced during Chazaras Hashir, during the review of the lecture, that they were right, that they made an oath to that effect. Ge'asu l'kamei d'Rav, later they came in front of Rav and presented the question and asked him, what did Rav say in Shir? What did he mean? Amar kechad minayu, and he said, like one of them. One of them is right, and the other is going to be wrong. Amar le'idach, so the other one would say, Va'ano b'shikra ishtavoi, did I therefore make an oath that's false. And the answer to us would have been simple. By golly, yeah, you made a false oath. That's what turns out. Amale, and Rav told him, Libech Anseich, your heart made it that you're an ones, that it's a circumstance beyond your control. You were totally convinced. You were making an oath in good faith. You were in error, but you were making it in good faith. To you, that was the truth. That's how you understood it. And perhaps this is additionally relevant by Torah, where the total passion for accuracy in Torah caused him to make this oath because he thought the other one was deviating from what Rav taught. And this, the Gemara says, is an example of ha'adam b'shivua. You're actually in a circumstance beyond your control. Just like if his child would be sick and he would have to take care, he can't run off to eat with whatever commitment he made. And just like if the river overflowed, it's dangerous to cross, he can't come. So over here also, the compelling nature of truth as you perceived it caused you to make this oath, and it ends up being not true, but it falls into the category of ha'adam b'shavua, that it was a coercion of sorts by your being a human being with deep commitments. It becomes a exclusion of ha'adam b'shavua. In the sif that I quoted a moment ago regarding nidrei onsin, the Rama continues, v'im ira lo ones v'haya efsha l'salko ayidei mamon harbe. If a certain ones, something beyond his control, occurred, and he's able to overcome it only by spending enormous sums of money, the river overflows, well, I don't know exactly what's included in Mamon Harbe, but perhaps hiring a personal jet, hiring a helicopter, bringing in a special motorboat that is able to navigate even in stormy weather. Whatever Mamon Harbe means, but he's able to overcome the difficulty, but it would cause him an exorbitant amount of money. Mikri ones. The Rama holds that's still considered an ones, something, circumstances beyond his control, and he would be eligible for this exclusion of ha'adam b'shavua. The Taz in Sif Katan Yud Zayin mentions that a question was posed by the Bach that in the laws of mitzvahs, a person would have to spend all his money not to violate a lo saaseh. Person is stuck on a desert island and the only food available is McDonald's, and he can't subsist on fruits and vegetables anymore. He absolutely, for health reasons, pikuach nefesh, he needs to get some high-level nutrition, and all he has is McDonald's. So the laws of lo sasa, not to eat non-kosher, would dictate that he would have to spend his money to obtain kosher food. He would have to airlift a kosher meal in order that he could have what he needs. He's not allowed to say, oh, it's Mamon Harbe, so I'm allowed to violate. So why over here, if he has an oath that he made and is binding, why is he allowed an exclusion of Mamon Harbe to be able to just say that I don't have to keep the oath? It's a lo sasa. It's a prohibition. He's in violation of the oath. And the Taz explains that this is not a regular lo sasa which stands even though he's under duress. This type of prohibition is al das ze lo nishba klal sheyivaz ve'z mamon harbe. His intent was not to make an oath of having to spend exorbitant sums, and we might use the words from our Gemara to buttress that approach, ha'adam b'shevuah, this is considered beyond his control according to the normal perception of a person making an oath. This is the equivalent of the river overflowing, even though he could spend all his money and overcome it. But that's considered beyond his control, ha'adam b'shevuah, and the Rama is telling us that that level of being able to extricate himself from the problem, but it would take exorbitant sums, would be included in this exclusion of the Shavuah. So again, very detailed nuances to know when to apply, when not to apply, and a bit discussion, machlokes, in the poskim, but to appreciate that there is such an exclusion, and our Gemara applies that exclusion to the case of Rav Kana and Rav Asi, who each, as they verbalized their Shavua, were totally convinced that that's what Rav did say and were compelled to stand up for what they perceived to be the truth. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.